Hello, listeners. Welcome to the next episode of the Violet Strange Mystery Series. The little minx is getting closer and closer to the heart of the mystery. Like a determined little terrier, she keeps digging and digging away. Enjoy.
Did she at any time, immediately before or after her marriage to Mr. Amidon, get a glimpse of anyone in the adjoining house? No remarks, please. I use the telephone because I am not ready to explain myself. If she did, let her send a written description to you of that person as soon as she reaches the Azores.
You surprise me.
May I not call or hope for a line from you early tomorrow? I shall be busy till you get your answer.
He hung up the receiver.
He recognized the resolute tone. But the time came when the pending explanation was fully given to him. An answer had been returned from the steamer, favorable to Violet's hopes. Mrs. Amidon had seen such a person and would send a full description of the same at the first opportunity. It was news to fill Violet's heart with pride. The filament of a clue which had led to this great result had been so nearly invisible and had felt so like nothing in her grasp. To her employer, she described it as follows.
When I hear or read of a case which contains any baffling features, I am apt to feel some hidden chord in my nature thrill to one fact in it and not to any others. In this case, the single fact which appealed to my imagination was the dropping of the stolen wallet in the upstairs room. Why did the guilty man drop it? And why, having dropped it, did he not pick it up again? But one answer seemed possible. He had heard or seen something at the spot where it fell, which not only alarmed him, but sent him in flight from the house.
Very good. And did you settle to your own mind the nature of that sound or that sight?
I did.
Her manner was strangely businesslike. No show of dimples now.
Satisfied that if any possibility remained of my ever doing this, it would have to be on the exact place of this occurrence or not at all. I embraced your suggestion and visited the house.
And that room, no doubt.
And that room. Women somehow seem to manage such things.
So I noticed, Miss Strange. And what was the result of your visit? What did you discover there?
This. That one of the blood spots marking the criminal's steps through the room was decidedly more pronounced than the rest. And what was even more important? That the window out of which I was looking had its counterpart in the house on the opposite side of the alley. In gazing through the one, I was gazing through the other. And not only that, but in the darkened area of the room beyond. Instantly, I saw how the latter fact might be made to explain the former one. But before I say how, let me ask if it is quite settled among you that the smears on the floor and stairs mark the passage of the criminal's footsteps.
Certainly, and very bloody feet they must have been, too. His shoes, or rather his one shoe, for the proof is plain that only the right one left its mark, must have become thoroughly saturated to carry its traces so far.
Do you think that any amount of saturation could have done this? Or, if you are not ready to agree to that, that a shoe so covered with blood could have failed to leave behind it some hint of his shape, some imprint, however faint, of heel or toe? But nowhere did it do this. We see a smear, and that is all.
You are right, Miss Strange. You are always right.
And what do you gather from this?
You can find us on Twitter @AudioMysteryTime. That's audio, Cap A, Mystery Cap M, and Time Cap T-Y-M. We're also on Tumblr. See you again soon, and thanks for listening.